catching up with me. The reading from the Gospel this morning is from the Gospel of John, is chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they lay him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings laying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings laying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not laying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. As yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she returned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Could we have any of the church? You know, this is one of those days when I came overdressed. Yes, it's somebody told me already, "You're going to be sweating with that sweater you're on." And they were right. But since I believe in praying, even when I'm sweating, let us pray. Loving and blessed God, we give you thanks again for all your mercy. We pray, O Lord, that you speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. We pray that you speak to our minds and you speak to our understanding, Lord. For we want to understand and we want to comprehend, Lord, what your will for our lives is. We pray, O loving Lord, that you open our hearts, our minds, and our understanding to you and to what your will for our lives is, Lord. I pray, no, not just for your church, Lord. I pray that you open my heart, my mind, and my understanding, that I may understand, O Lord, what you want for me as well. Bless us, O Lord, as we have come together, Lord, and we are all in need of hearing your word. Speak to us this morning, God, for we are here to listen. For we have come, O Lord, from far and near, but we have come all to praise you and to give you glory, to present our lives to you, Lord, this morning, for we want to give you our best. Speak to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you repeat after me? Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Amen. Amen. So be it. You know, we have been talking about stones for the past few weeks. Amen. We have a bunch of stones, and we have only a few left. But that was because of need, not because of design. Right? We needed the stones so we can keep the cross right there. But we have been collecting stones, right? So we have been collecting stones that we had actually a little bucket of stones at the entrance of the church, and we have been taking a stone each week we have come in. And to symbolize a sin, to symbolize something that is holding us back, to symbolize something that is not moving, not helping us to move forward. And we have brought those stones to the foot of the cross. So for the past few weeks, we have been doing that as a way of bringing ourselves to the cross, bringing ourselves to the foot of the cross. For you all know, of course, we have been challenged by many limitations, and many of us have been challenged by many, many things that are holding us back, and many things that are just grabbing, have a grab on ourselves and do not let us grow into what God wants us to grow. So we took all the rocks from here, for of course today is Resurrection Sunday, and we took all the rocks from here and we went and dumped them in a little hole we have in our entryway and at the office. And I was coming the other day, driving in the other day, coming into the office, as I driving into our parking space, and I saw the stones. And I thought, oh, this is great. We have, you know, we're covering the hole because, you know, we have a hole. We're covering the hole. This is a great idea for the stones. And so I decided, well, since these are the sins of our people, right? I just decided to go over it back again and again. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this. This is a great blessing. We can do this. But indeed, we want to present ourselves to God. Amen. And so this morning, we're reminded of those stones and the journey we have been taking for the past few weeks. We have talked about how God is with us in so many different ways. We have talked about this God who comes to us every day, every Sunday, every week, comes to us and speaks to us. We have come to church to hear what God has to say to us. The stones that have been our limitations, the stones that have been the things we have been carrying maybe for years, maybe for a few months, maybe for a few weeks, are the things we have placed at the foot of the cross. This morning, the gospel tells us that the rock or the stone at the entrance of the tomb had been removed. One more stone that was removed. So that the light actually was able to come in into that dark place. Today is Resurrection Sunday. It is resurrection for not just Jesus Christ, but something that Brian Groover said this morning at the cemetery where we were celebrating sunrise service. It is our resurrection. It is your resurrection. Sorry. Jesus is alive. Amen? And Jesus is alive, but it's not simply so that He is alive. He is alive so that He can bring life to us. That is the gift that we have received from God. It's the gift of life. The gift of resurrection, that it's not just the gift of resurrection that Jesus is alive again, but it's the gift of the resurrection that we have experienced through Christ. For it means nothing to say that Jesus is alive. It means nothing to say that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead if there is nothing happening in our lives. It means nothing. If my life has not changed, if I have not experienced the resurrection within me, that resurrection that Jesus is bringing to my life, to our lives, if I am not experiencing that resurrection, then it means nothing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Sunday, on a Sunday like today. For the resurrection only has value when it is in you. When you experience the power of the resurrection, when you experience the power of transformation that takes place with the resurrection, that's when it really takes a wonderful experience. It turns into a wonderful experience when we live that experience of the resurrection. You know, we can talk about resurrection for a long time. For resurrection, you know, we have a lot of detractors in today's time. I mean, I think that every time since the time of Jesus' resurrection, we have had detractors and people who don't believe and people who don't accept this. And many people who call it today, of course, call it a myth, the myth of the resurrection of Jesus. And that's a reality of our world. That's a reality of our environment, so to speak. We don't need a response to that. We don't need a defense to tell people, oh, yes, it happened. We just live it out. Amen? We just live it out. Because there is no greater voice, there is no greater testimony, there is no greater evidence of Jesus' resurrection than the resurrection that has taken place in your life, in my life. And that is the power of the resurrection today for you and for me. Have you really believed this? Is this something that really is part of your life? That you truly believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead in you? For you see, life that comes from that experience is not simply a life so that you can live out in the other world. Amen? It's not just life in the other world. This is not just what we're about. See, for the life of Christ is so that we can live the life of Christ here. Amen? In this world. Not in the other one. In the other one, that's God's business. Amen? That's, you know, God will take care of that. Once it happens to you, and because it will happen, most likely will happen to all of us, then it's God's business. And God's business here, right now, is how do we live our lives to show that indeed the resurrection has taken place in our lives. That indeed we believe this stuff. And that we believe this stuff not because we have an intellectual understanding of this, but because we are living it out in the world in which we live. We are living out the faith of the resurrection, for we are people who have been transformed by the power of the resurrection to live out a faith that transforms the world. Not simply to say, I believe. Right? Thank you, brother. For we hear this even from the scripture. And I don't want to compare people, but the reality is even James says, you know, even the demons believe, right? So, I mean, the example is if even the demons believe, anybody can believe that stuff. But it doesn't make the transformation. It's not simply a matter of saying, I believe this stuff. Oh, yes, it happens. Woohoo! It's a matter of saying, I believe it because I live it. I live this resurrection in my life. For God has transformed my life to be the kind of person that God wants me to be. For God has transformed my life so that I can be the kind of person that is the person that God desires me to be in this world. I was telling some folks the other day in Bible study, I said, you know, my task as a pastor, some people think, and some people, you know, and they will preach this and that, you know, that's their thing. the task of the pastor is to prepare people for heaven. But the task of the pastor is to prepare people for heaven. That's not my task. No. I want to prepare you to live your life as a disciple of Christ here. Right here, in this world, in this community, in this nation, in this world. I don't want you to be preparing yourself to go to heaven because you're focusing on something that is not the important thing. The important thing is, how do we live our lives as resurrected people here today? That is the important message of the resurrection. The resurrection is about life. It's not about death. The resurrection is not the last nail in the coffin of the world. We're not checking out on the world. We're actually coming into the world to transform this world in the name of Jesus. That is the power of the resurrection. That is the power of the resurrection in the world today, if we believe it, if we take it seriously, if we actually take it seriously. So I'm not interested, my personal thing, I'm not interested in knowing if you're going to get to heaven. That's between you and God. I'm interested in you becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. And my hope is that as you and I become disciples of Jesus Christ, then we'll get to heaven. And we'll get to heaven together. In the meantime, we're bringing heaven to earth by living out that message of transformation that God wants for the entire human race. Not just for folks, for some, not just for a few, but for the entire human race. God wants to transform our reality into something new, into something completely different, into something that is not the same thing as it used to be before. And we mentioned some of that, right? Because a part of our conversation for the past few weeks, we talked about that. For you see, Jesus came bringing a message that was really a powerful message. A message that brought transformation to people's lives. Jesus brought a message that spoke about what God's will for us is. Amen? Would you agree with me? Jesus brought that message. A message of transformation. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and the scribes and told the Pharisees and the scribes, you know exactly what needs to be done. You know exactly what God wants from you. And then he says, but you're missing the most important things. Remember that? Right? What were the most important things? There were two things at least. That if you don't get the whole thing, you got at least two. I've been talking about this for a while, right? So what are those two things that Jesus says were the most important things of the law? Huh? Love. Okay, to love like God loves. And what else? One more. See? Show mercy. See, so you got another one. And to do justice, right? So to love God like God loves us, to show mercy, and to do justice. Now you've heard this passage, you have heard that as a passage from Micah, right? Micah 6:8 is a powerful message we have heard many times. And this is what Jesus tells the Pharisees and the scribes. You knew what the law was supposed to demand from you. You know exactly what God demanded of you. But you forgot the most important thing. To love like God loves. To do justice. And to do mercy. The power of the resurrection brings to us this to life. For indeed, the life of Christ, the life that Christ brings to us, is a life that tells us this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is how we're supposed to be living our faith. This is how we're supposed to be living this message out. Loving each other, caring for each other, doing what is right for the other, stopping exploitation, stopping oppression, ending injustice where we see injustice. Now, this is not a political message. Amen? I need you to understand that. This is not a political message. This is about what the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches us about what it is to live out the resurrection of our Lord. The message of the resurrection brings to light that what Jesus taught and what Jesus preached was exactly what we needed to hear. For the Jewish community, the idea of the resurrection was precisely the confirmation, the affirmation that Jesus indeed is the Messiah that has been expected. That Jesus confirmed the eschatological message that the end is here. The end for a new time. The end for a new age. The age of the kingdom of God. And you and I, we have been called to be part of this wonderful and powerful message of God. You and I have been entrusted with this message of transformation, with this message of liberation for the whole human race. Not just for a few, not just for the select, but for the entire human race. The power of the resurrection, my brothers and sisters, lies in how we live our lives in this world. If you live your life as if Jesus did not resurrect, then there is no change. If you live your lives as if Jesus indeed is risen from the dead, then transformation should follow our lives. Your life should be transformed daily, constantly. And the lives of the people around you should be transformed also daily, constantly. For that is what God wants to do in our lives. Constant change, constant transformation to make us be the best that we can be. To make us be the disciples of Christ that God wants us to be. Would you pray with me? Loving and merciful God, again we give you thanks for the resurrection. We give you thanks, O Lord, for you have brought to us, O Lord, a powerful message, O Lord, of resurrection. For your life, O Lord, has shed light on our lives. For your death, O Lord, represents our life. That we have life and life eternal, Lord, and that our lives are lived in you. Loving God, we want to live in you. We want our lives to be lived in you, O God. For we know, Lord, that you are the one who transformed lives. We know, Lord, that you are the one who changed lives. We know, Lord, that you are the one who transforms reality, Lord, from what is not to what is, for you have the power to do that in our lives, Lord. You have been transforming, you have been changing, you have been working in our lives, oh Lord, for us to become better than what we are. And thank you, Lord, for through your resurrection, oh Jesus, we are able to be transformed from death to life. And to be the kinds of people who bring life into the world. Not death, not oppression, not exploitation, not injustice, but your love, your mercy, your justice. Help us, O God, to continue to celebrate your resurrection in our lives. For we want to be indeed the people of the resurrection and to witness with our lives your resurrection in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.